Hallelujah. God bless you in the new year, the year of our Lord 2014. I am so excited about what God is doing for us now and what I believe he shall do for us in this year of 2014. The Lord is good. This is Apostle William T. Broaddus coming to you on this great radio program, The Gospel for the Glory of Jesus, KRAJ 100.9 FM in the Antelope Valley. Again, we appreciate Brother Melvin Slade for giving us this opportunity to share our conviction about the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, the one who brought us out of darkness and placed us into his marvelous light. Romans chapter 8, verse 37 says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Hallelujah. Think about that. The Apostle Paul says, we are more than a conqueror. You ought to tell somebody that I'm more than a conqueror. And when you think about that passage of scripture, and when you think about what the Apostle Paul said, I want you to think about the context, the text, and the application. Let's look at the context. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. When we talk about the context of a verse of scripture, we are referring to the parts of a discourse that surround a word or passage and can throw light on its meaning. What is surrounding both Romans chapter 7 and 8 is the recognition of the principle that we are all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Because of our fall from innocence, we were created in innocence, but sin entered the world. Romans 6 verses 1 through 14 was a pivotal passage in Paul's argument. On the one hand, it was the culmination of Paul's presentation that those who are spiritually dead can have life through union with Jesus. It was also the launching pad for another presentation and affirmation of freedom to live a righteous life. Hallelujah. Earlier in the reading and studying of the epistles to the Romans, it would be noted that the concept of spiritual death lurked in the background of Paul's teaching in Romans 1 through 3. Another concept cast a shadow across the teachings in Romans 6 through 8. This is the concept that the believer has two natures. The Bible speaks very bluntly about human sin nature. This is an inbred tendency to sin which warps and distorts the human personality. Human nature, we understand, which in the original creation reflected the character of God himself. Read Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27. And was twisted out of shape by the fall. Because in Genesis 1, 26 through 27, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And then verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. That fallen nature, my beloved listener, warped and twisted, which is capacity and passion for every way but God's, remains with us. Psalm 51:5 says, behold, David said, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. What God in Christ has done is to add a new nature or new creation. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. Those who believe are made alive in Christ with a new capacity for goodness which we did not possess before. Now at last we have both the desire and capacity to respond to God. But you got to understand these two natures, what we call the old and the new, are at war with us or within us. These natures within us are fighting an awesome battle. Christians are to put to death what belongs to their earthly nature. For the old self with its practices are to be put off, and a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator, that's what we are to put on. That's the word. That scripture in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 11, it says, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. And then Paul said, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, nor free, but Christ is all in all. Hallelujah. So now in one person, there are two capacities. The one oriented to good and the other to evil. In each believer, reactions, motives, desires, values, and behavior become channels through which God will express himself in righteousness, or evil will express itself in sin. The challenge, believer, of the Christian life is to learn to live as the new people we have become. That's our challenge. In 2014, that's our challenge, is not to live in our old lifestyle, living in the flesh. The challenge, my beloved, in 2014 is to increasingly reject the old we once were. So they used to say when I was growing up in the church, things I used to do, hey, I don't do no more. Places I used to go, I don't go anymore. Words I used to use, hallelujah, I don't use anymore, because of the fact Jesus Christ has brought me out of that old lifestyle, of that old life I used to have, and brought me into a greater image of God, my Creator. Remember again, the challenge of the believer is to learn to live as new people, the new ones we have become in Christ Jesus. This distinctive understanding of the believer and our difference from other men and women is basic to Paul's prescription for victory. Understanding the context or background, we can move on to examine in order the answers to the question raised by Paul and assured in Romans 7 and 8. In the context of the text, the writer of Romans speaks to us about us being free from sin. In Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 11, he shares with us our sonship through the Holy Spirit in verses 12 through 17, and in verses 18 through 30, he speaks of our moving from suffering to glory. Now, my beloved, let's look briefly at the selected text. What shall we say then? In Romans chapter 8, verse 31, if God is for us, who can be against us? Because of time, I don't have time to explore the text like I would like to, but I want to reiterate that 31st verse. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Do you ever think that because you don't believe you're good enough for God, he will not save you? Do you ever feel as if salvation is for everyone else but you? Then Paul, in these verses, is speaking to you. If God gave his son for you, he isn't going to hold back the gift of salvation. If Christ gave his life for you, he isn't going to turn around and condemn you. He will not withhold anything you need to live for him. The book of Romans is more than a theological explanation of God's redeeming grace. It is a letter of comfort and confidence addressed to you. Paul says that Jesus is interceding for us in heaven right now at this very hour. Hallelujah. You have to understand, God has acquitted us and has removed our sin and guilt. So it is Satan and not God who accuses us. And when he does, Jesus, the advocate of our defense, stands at God's right hand to present our case. What did I say, my beloved? I say, if God is for us, who can be against us? It doesn't mean that in this new year you won't have some trials and tribulations. Does not mean you may not get sick this year. It does not mean your money might get funny this year. It does not mean that you won't face some horrific challenges, but it does mean that whatever you got to face this year, if you understand God is for you, good God Almighty, who can be against you? What circumstances can be against you? What situation can be against you? My beloved, I came to say to you today, as we begin our series of preaching in 2014, that God is on your side. Christ gave you his life. He died for you. Hey, yes, he did. He died on the cross. And the Bible says that Jesus, the Son of God, that we have to hold fast our confession of him, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Hallelujah. So that's good news today. I said that's good news today, because Paul is saying to us in 2014, if God is for us, I don't care who it is, I don't care what it is, God's profound love for his people, nobody can be against us. No matter what happens to us, no matter where we are, and we can never be lost to his love. Suffering should not drive us away from God, but help us to identify with him further and allow his love to reach us and heal us and to fix our minds and keep our mind stayed on him. Oh, hallelujah. Today, as I'm so glad that there's nothing, Paul says, that can separate us from the love of God. No. I came to tell you, hardship should not separate you. Persecution should not separate you. Illness should not separate you. Imprisonment, even death, should not separate you. These should cause you to go closer and closer to Christ. Hallelujah. And Paul proclaimed that it is impossible to be separated from Christ. His death for us is proof of his unconquerable love. Nothing can stop Christ's constant presence with us. God tells us how great this love is, so that we will feel totally secure in him. If we believe these overwhelming assurance, we will not be afraid. Hallelujah. And so I come by to tell you today, as we walk together through this year, let nothing separate you from his love. Let me remind you again, Romans 8:31. What then shall we say of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. Remember, he died on the cross for you. He suffered. They hung him high and stretched him wide. But glory be to God. After 3 days, he got up from that grave. And according to Matthew's gospel, he got up and proclaimed, all power of heaven and earth is in my hand. I came to tell you, let nothing, absolutely nothing, separate you from his love.